right the other way, won't we? Look in Luke, the second chapter. I'm thankful for your presence this morning and to be able to once again blend our thoughts and minds in the service of God and wonderful songs we've just sang, being led by the good brother, and being able to concentrate our thoughts and upon the wonderful grace of God. Also, with regard to my surgery on Tuesday, I think it's been a while in coming, but finally we're going to have to face it, and so I think we're going to try to do it on Tuesday. So appreciate your thoughts and prayers. And hope everything goes smooth then. Luke, the second chapter. In Luke, the second chapter, begin with me in verse 25. Luke, the second chapter, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Beautiful passage. But I just wanted to look at the first one there, verse 30, just as a beginning of it, because I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about some pictures of the idea and the concept of salvation. And I thought of one of these, and I thought that was such a wonderful one. When he looked into the face of this newborn child, he says, as it says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He wasn't saying, I've seen a small child, 30, 40 days old. I forget now what is the period of time they had for cleansing. But a month or a month and a half or so. But what he says is, my eyes have seen your salvation. And I thought that was just a beautiful way of saying it. He saw in this child, he saw in Jesus salvation from a newborn infant and everything that might mean. The Bible gives us many pictures of the idea of salvation. And when he is talking here about, for my eyes have seen your salvation, he's just adding to what many people have thought about. And through the Old Testament, you have the same thing. David many times talks about the greatness of salvation, the joy of your salvation, the shield of your salvation, and many other ways they just talk about it. And so I kind of wanted just to kind of limit ourselves this morning to the New Testament, talking about pictures of salvation. And they're things that we read and probably know so many times, but when we stop and think about them, it's interesting how they do tell a story all to themselves. So let me suggest to you, first of all, how about delivered from darkness? What a picture. Look with me over in Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. And Paul is saying in verse 12 of Colossians 1, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, and has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Again, just a beautiful picture of the idea of being delivered from darkness. And he's not just talking about physical darkness, but he's talking about spiritual darkness and knowledge darkness. This idea that I can see something. The word delivered there, in other places in the Bible, is translated rescued. Instead of just delivered out of, they have been rescued from this. And yet you and I can think through our minds the passages about light and darkness in its contrast. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And that's the point Jesus was trying to make. He who follows me. Jesus is saying, come, follow me. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What a great thought and point he's trying to make for us there. When we look over in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, we look at verse 3. That picture is used by Paul. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine upon them." My eyes cannot see if I'm in the world. Mankind's eyes are to be open to see the glory of Christ. And look with me over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to follow along there. And we were talking about Ephesians 4 just a little while ago, but in Ephesians 5, verse 8, Paul says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." The power of darkness, as we think, certainly is that which is of the devil. Look with me back in Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts, the 26th chapter, and it just plainly tells us this. This is where the Lord speaks to Paul, or Saul at the time. And he tells him, Acts 26, verse 17, he says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you." Verse 18. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith." The power of darkness that we have been delivered from is really the power of Satan. It is what he does. It clouds his people thinking. They misunderstand things. They are not people who can reason for themselves out of what God would have us to be until they recognize the gospel of Christ. 1 Peter 5, we read in verse 7 and 8, he makes the statement, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And the way he devours people is by blinding their minds to the things of God's word, the things of God's will, the things of Christ himself. And Paul is saying that about everyone. When you read in 1 Thessalonians 1 and you read in verse 10, "We are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Jesus, again, is the one who is delivering us. But just a picture in your mind, to be delivered from darkness, is a very real way of talking about the gospel of Christ. I'm suggesting this is one we probably know more often of, the idea of being forgiven of sins. Forgiven of sins. Forgiven means to be pardoned. Except in the original language, it meant to pardon or to forgive without any mental reservation whatsoever. It was a very powerful word. It had this idea about completeness of being right with God. And in the early times, that statement, for us to say forgiveness of sins, we say it all the time. We say it every other day probably, the forgiveness of sins. But when people understood it 2,000 years ago, it was shocking of what he would do for us. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 7, we'd read, "In him we have redemption, being bought back through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." I mean, just think about that. This forgiveness here, it's not because you forgive somebody that knocked a glass of tea over or something. We're talking about something that it is forgiven, and it took the very riches of the grace of God to do it. It was to forgive people of the most horrible things. Over in, when we read down in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and this is not the only list, but 1 Corinthians 6 would be one of them. Just this horrible list of things people are involved in. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither. fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I'm talking about a list like that. Just think about that. Being forgiven of these things. It was a shocking picture. But it's what took the death of the Son of God on the cross. It's a great story with Napoleon after he became emperor. There was a young man in the military, and he had killed someone, and he was to be executed. And his mother went to Emperor Napoleon, and she said, "I do not seek justice." She said, "I'm just pleading for mercy." And he said, "Your son's does not deserve mercy." And she made such a fantastic statement. She said, "It wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it." And he thought about it for a few minutes, and he said, "I'll grant it." The idea of mercy is not something we deserved. When you really read this list here, that's not something it is a list of things that should be executed. This is a list of things you think about in Noah's flood. And to be forgiven of it, to say you're forgiven, go on, please God in your service every day, is still shocking. And yet it's so familiar to us to be forgiven of God. Yeah, it's no problem. Yeah, it is. He took the Son of God on the cross. Look with me at another one. I'm still not getting it. Raised from the dead. He's actually talking about us being raised from the dead. Look in Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, and these are all through the New Testament. I'm sure you're aware of this. Begin with me. Verse 1, Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." What a tremendous picture there. And then this is a real picture of salvation. It's not just being delivered out of darkness of life, which it is. It's not just truly being forgiven. It is. It's actually being raised from the dead, because we were dead. We truly were. We were spiritually dead before God. We read in class this morning, Ephesians, if you're there with me in the second chapter, look over the fourth chapter. Again, just this is this paragraph that he's talking about, that we are now a new man. Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." The complete futility of their language and their purposes in living. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God," being separated from God, "because of the ignorance that is in them." They don't know. "Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." He said, that's not what you learn. That's not what understanding the gospel is. That we have been people who have been raised to walk in newness of life. We walk with Christ. And that's what we learn, to be in fellowship with Him. We've been studying on Wednesday nights for the last couple of months. We've been studying Ecclesiastes. And the great, great lesson of the Ecclesiastes is that life on this earth, just the short time we're here and we live just for this life, is a complete vanity. It's a waste of time. It's a non-zero game. We don't gain anything by it, and it just seems to be a waste. That's the way life looks at it. If you're reading along with him, look in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, read down toward the end, verse 17. And this is the opposite of life on this earth is vain, and there's no good and there's no profit. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yeah, life can be vain. And so many think, so many people think this way. Look with me at another. Now that worked that time. That we're brought near. Go back with me to Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter. Just another picture. The idea of salvation. That we've been brought near. We've been brought out of exile, so to speak. Is that the Jewish people were carried into exile as a nation into Babylon captivity and were later brought back. But the entire history of the Gentile nations was one of being exiled from God's blessings through the old law of Moses. Verse 11, Ephesians, the second chapter. Therefore, remember that you, and he's talking to Ephesians now. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But what a description of somebody's life. Think of that. That at that time you were without the Son of God. You were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were not citizens in the kingdom of God's people. And you were strangers from the covenants of promise. The promise didn't come to you. Having no hope and without God in the world. I mean, can you think of a worse description of somebody's life? But he said in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Where were they when they were far off? They were out there somewhere in life that was not blessed. And salvation of what Jesus has brought to us, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. You're in fellowship. You stand in His presence. What a beautiful picture that is of salvation when we think about what God is offering to mankind through His Son Jesus. What Jesus has in mind when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Beautiful picture. Just as wonderful picture as Simeon holding up a newborn infant and saying, I see the salvation of the Lord. That's just what he could see. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have seen that? Sin in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were told not to partake of the tree, and they did, and just that quick, they were separated from God. Sin separates us from God. We were talking last week about the holiness of God. God's holiness is tremendous. We can't comprehend it. It is unfathomable. It is separated from us in every way. Even the angels that work in His presence cover themselves, cover their face, cover their feet. Gives you an idea of why immediately Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves in the very presence of a holy God. But Isaiah 59 tells us sin separates us. God will not hear our prayers. And that's the point we need to keep in mind. But we became members of the body of Christ. If you're reading with me, look over in 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John, the 5th chapter. And we'll read verse 1 and 2. 1 John 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God When we love God and keep His commandments, we become part of God's family. We become identified as brothers and sisters. And we recognize that now, because of Christ and what He's done for us, this world is not our home any longer. It's not the definition of who we are and what we are. Back in 2 Corinthians 5, we read, for example, verse 5, 6, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5 and 6. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit is genuine. Verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. As we sing that song, this world is not our home. We're looking for that home that Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you to myself. That's the hope that we have today, and what a tremendous picture that is. For us just to think about passages we've read all of our life, it's a picture of salvation, but many of them are tremendous pictures. Look with me at freedom from the slavery of sin. Look with me over in Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans, the sixth chapter. Another way, it's just a picture of describing people who are not in relationship to God as they should be. Verse 6, Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Here's the picture of being in slavery of the terrible life that is lived by someone who is in that situation. And He said that's what we've been done away with. Now we're still servants of God and we're servants of the Lord. And that gives us the greater hope when you look further down in verse 22. He says, but now having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of God. For you had to have your fruit in holiness in the end and everlasting life. We are God's creation, and God has recreated us in a spiritual way, and we are His servants. Mankind without Christ, it's terrible just to read about. It's terrible to see the lives that people have to live. And just in the Bible, look with me back in Mark, the fifth chapter. Mark, the fifth chapter. I don't think we can read all of it, but Jesus goes to a far country and He meets there a man in terrible condition. Mark the fifth chapter, verse 1. And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when He had come out of the boat, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and by chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped Him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, you by God, that you do not torment me. For He said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then He asked, what is your name? And He answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Man, what a picture there. Just of the life of people who are totally dominated by satanic influences and what the ungodliness of the world can bring upon a person's life. And of course, you recall He allows the unclean spirits to go into a herd of swine. And verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told him in the city, them in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who saw it told them how it happened to them who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. That's a picture of people in sin of this world. Their minds completely darkened by everything that is of this world. And it's such a sad picture that so many times that is a description of what's happening with the way they think and the way they act. Truth, and you know John 8:32, truth makes us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the previous verse, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But again, just these pictures. Freedom from the slavery of sin, to become a servant of the Lord, to be in fellowship with God and His holy angels. In John, look with me over in John 8th chapter. After those verses of verse 31 and 32, he makes this statement down at verse 34. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I think Mark, the 5th chapter, is put there for us to realize how horrible the life is and the lack of hope that does exist in so many people's lives. And we could make a lot of other points. These pictures of salvation, they're all through here. They're like this, but there's some of the most familiar ones. Delivered from darkness, we've heard that. Forgiven of sins is certainly one that we all know of. Being raised from the dead, we truly have been raised from a situation in which we were dead in sin and brought near from being far exiled to now being in fellowship with the Lord. And then having the freedom from the slavery of sin and what it does to a person and their thinking and their lack of hope. So when we think about it, there are these wonderful pictures that takes me back to this idea of Simeon in the tabernacle waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and he finally sees it. He says, "I have seen thy salvation." If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. Think of the situation that you may be in, whether you have the hope of eternal life, whether you've been blessed of God, forgiveness of sins. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to do so. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that's the belief and the faith and trust in Christ that we would come to Him in obedience to serve Him, to thank Him for the rest of our lives for what He has done for us. And if you're a child of God and haven't lived as you should, you need to make things right in your life. This would be a wonderful time to do so. These are beautiful pictures that describe salvation in the life of so many people. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?